Ken Sikkema, who is a senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants. Ken, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. Tell us about your background.
Well, I spent 20 years in the Michigan legislature, and I ended up my last 4 years as Senate Majority Leader, and my district is in Kent County.
And when we think about energy, I know myself, for one, I don't have a lot of knowledge on how energy policy works here in the state. And you're going to try and do something about that for people like me with a media roundtable. Tell us about it.
Well, energy policy is complex, and we're talking really about the supply of electricity. You know, most consumers, rightly so, just when they switch the switch on, they want the lights to work, and when it's 100 degrees outside, they want air conditioning to work. But it is very complex, and actually, Michigan has a quite an innovative energy policy. It was enacted by the legislature only a few short years ago, and in a bipartisan fashion. At the time, a Democratic House, Republican Senate, and a Democratic governor put it together. It includes a requirement that 10% of our energy supplied in Michigan, electricity, come from renewable sources by the year 2015. And then at that point, we will review it to see if we need to or should expand it, and in what kind of time frame and by how much. But it's a very comprehensive policy and quite innovative, and it has the characteristics that you really want. It's reliable, it's affordable, and it pushes us toward more renewable energy.
Tell us about Michigan's current energy policy and if it's good or bad.
Well, I think it's good. Nothing is ever perfect, but it is comprehensive. It's based on Michigan-specific research. It was recently enacted, and it's in quite sharp contrast to this proposal that will be on the ballot this November that would lock a 25% renewable standard in the state constitution. And the reason I oppose that is because by putting it in the constitution, you lose all kinds of flexibility. You can't respond to new technologies in the years ahead. And other states that have done this, none of them have put it in their constitution for that very reason. And that's really the danger of a proposal like that. It takes away all flexibility. It takes away the state's ability to respond to new technologies.
How is our energy policy in regards to how it works with the United States' energy policy?
Well, all these electric energy policies are state-specific. It's not a national mandate, and that's important. Now, you look across the board at 50 states, all the states are dramatically different in terms of the kind of sources they have. For example, Maine is heavily reliant upon hydroelectric power, as are some northwestern states. So all the 50 states are different. There are 50 different energy policies, and you want your policy to be, in our case, Michigan-specific. We're a unique state. We have two peninsulas. We have a unique economy because it's very heavily based on manufacturing, which means you need reliable energy. On the issue of renewable energy, 21 states do not have any requirement. 29 states, including Michigan, does. And these requirements are all different. They range. Michigan's 10% requirement by 2015 is fairly typical. One of the common features of all the states that have this, though, is that they don't put it in the state constitution. They keep it in state law and statute, which allows them to change it when they need to.
Ken, this is a topic that's way beyond my knowledge and expertise and understanding. We have heard from other sources, including some of our listeners, that they think the renewable energy plan for not only Michigan but the United States is a Democratic ploy to use tax dollars for things that don't work, like renewable energy doesn't produce the jobs that it said it was going to do. And then when you talk about battery power, there are a lot of challenges there. Can you clarify that for me?
Well, there's no question there are taxpayer-funded subsidies right now for renewable energy. There's a federal tax subsidy that applies directly to wind. So when people see wind turbines in Michigan, in part, the reason you're seeing them is because there is a federal tax credit. Now, that tax credit expires at the end of this year, and no one knows whether it's going to be extended or for how long. That's one of the reasons you don't want to lock this kind of policy in the state constitution, because you don't know whether these subsidies are going to continue to exist. But the fact of the matter is, your listeners that have asked about that are correct. There are taxpayer-funded subsidies right now for renewable energy, and it's one of the reasons that it's competitive. You take away those tax subsidies, and it's very questionable whether these technologies, whether it's wind or solar or whatever, really are competitive.
Renewable energy be at the forefront of how we get our power? Because what I understand, we have, via fracking and other means, we have all the natural gas and coal that we'll need to power us, and the way we utilize that is pretty clean. Help me with that.
Well, there's no question that the United States has hundreds of years of supply of both coal and natural gas. Natural gas is particularly important because it's relatively emissions-free in terms of clean energy. Now, my position is, yes, let's look at renewable as a part of our generation mix, but only a part. And let's proceed extremely cautiously because it is expensive and because, as you point out, we do have adequate supplies of other sources. And let's not forget the value of nuclear energy, which is totally emissions clean. But that's one of the reasons you don't want to pick a standard, say 25%, and then on top of it lock it in the state constitution. We have other sources that are unique to the United States that we ought to be using.
What's your take on fracking? We've heard opponents say that it tears up the land.
I think fracking is a viable technology. It allows us to get ample supplies of natural gas. It can be done in an environmentally sound manner, and opposition to fracking is not based upon knowledge or science.
All right, and a last question for you, Ken. It sounds like you're hopeful about the energy policy for the state of Michigan. How do we get where we are? Is this due to the current governor, to former governors? Who's helped us? Who's helped?
Well, our current energy policy in Michigan, as I mentioned, was recently enacted. It's innovative. It's comprehensive. It's a sound, good policy. And in a day of very partisan politics, it's important to point out it was done in a bipartisan fashion only a few years ago. 2008, it was passed by a Democratic House, Republican Senate, and signed by Democratic Governor Granholm. So it is a bipartisan policy. It's sound, and I think we ought to stick with it.
How can we be better, Ken?
Well, we can always do better. And I think with energy policy, you have to monitor it, review it constantly, because things change. Technologies change. The price of sources change, like natural gas. Natural gas is very cheap. So the important thing about energy policy, let's keep it flexible.
All right. For people who want to learn more about this, Ken, where can they go?
Well, I think one thing they could do is access Public Sector Consultants' website here in Lansing. We're a think tank. We're nonpartisan, objective, and we have an energy policy group. And you access our website, Public Sector Consultants, you can increase your knowledge about energy.
All right, Ken, I'm going to put you on speed dial. I got a feeling we're going to be calling you again. Thanks so much.
Thanks.